I deeply valued Jeffrey as the executive in charge of filmed entertainment, and I didn't want him to leave the company or feel discouraged about his future prospects. I suggested we talk instead about what else we might do to satisfy him. I need new mountains to climb, Jeffrey said again. I promised to give it some thought. In neither of these versions does Eisner explicitly deny making such a promise. And in an interview with Tony Schwartz, Eisner all but conceded that he did say something to that effect. Schwartz had arrived in Los Angeles that fall to begin work on the long-delayed book collaboration, meeting with Eisner and other executives, sitting in on meetings, immersing himself in the company. Some Disney executives thought he'd joined the company as Eisner's assistant, the latest in the line that had begun with Art Levitt. Levitt has since left Disney to become chief executive of Fandango, an internet ticketing service. Schwartz carried around a laptop computer and typed his sessions with Eisner. When he was back in New York, he often met with Eisner at Eisner's mother's apartment in the Pierre Hotel. Though he realized he was speaking to a journalist, Eisner seems to have been relatively candid, as though he enjoyed being able to speak freely to someone outside the company while retaining full control over anything that would actually be published. When the subject of whether Eisner promised Katzenberg that he'd succeed Wells arose, Eisner said, "I may have," Schwartz's notes indicate, and Schwartz later testified that the notes were a verbatim account of Eisner's remarks. "Only thing I may have said is, if he, Wells, hadn't signed a perfect 7-year deal, if he wasn't here, if I didn't have this wife, you'd be great. You'd be right." And in another interview with Schwartz several months later, Eisner said, "I don't know whether I did say he could have Frank's job." Frank Wells had returned to Los Angeles earlier in the day, and Eisner was eager to fill him in on his talk with Katzenberg. There's no way of knowing just how Eisner characterized Katzenberg's demands when they spoke, but according to Eisner, Wells replied, "Jeffrey really said that? I'm just amazed by his chutzpah." Wells seemed more hurt than Eisner had expected, but nonetheless, he evidently put his feelings aside. He and Eisner spent the rest of the conversation talking about ways they could expand Katzenberg's responsibilities. One possibility they discussed, one that Katzenberg himself had been pushing for, was to acquire a television network, an idea that Eisner had never entirely abandoned ever since giving up on acquiring NBC back in 1984 when it was sold to GE. His main motivation was as a distribution channel for Disney-made television programs and films. Despite his strenuous intentions for Disney to build its own business rather than acquire others, Eisner made an exception for television networks. True, Barry Diller had defied skeptics by creating a fourth network for Fox, but Murdoch's Fox already owned a critical mass of television stations on which to build the network, and Disney did not. That fall of 1993, Eisner spoke to Dan Burke, Steve Burke's father and chief executive of Cap City's ABC, about a possible merger. Eisner even dangled the possibility of running the network before Katzenberg. They also discussed expanding Katzenberg's responsibilities for Broadway theater, for records, and video games. To all appearances, Katzenberg was reassured by what Eisner promised him at Aspen. Yet Eisner wrote his lawyer, confidant Irwin Russell, the following April, that Katzenberg was confident that they,